Do you always have to hit the button when I'm mid sip of my coffee, Josh? Do you always have to do that? I feel like you do it on purpose at this point. I feel like you've done it enough times that it is on purpose. Welcome to the... Oh, God. Why would you do that to me, Josh? Welcome to the Filler Stop podcast channel, the number one channel where law enforcement first responders go to be informed and entertained 5 days a week. Listen, I promise we're more professional than this. Conservative Anthony is in studio with us today. Good to have him here as always. Breaking down political news. It's Political News Wednesday here on the Filler Stop podcast channel. The war of all wars has begun. I don't think I'm being hyperbolic by saying it this time. I really don't. I've got a lot of evidence to back that up, and I think we're going to have a fun discussion about it. Also, we've got to get into this Trump hush money trial, which is really getting exciting, especially if you're into society and culture, TMZ, salacious style court hearings. This is one that's really kind of going over and beyond. We haven't seen this in a couple of years, so it is getting pretty exciting. And then the big story here is these migrant waterborne operations that are going on in the United States. We also have migrants that are filling up New York City, demanding that they be put in luxury hotels and protesting that they need or deserve jobs immediately. So we got to break all that down. There's a lot to cover. Today's show brought to you by GhostBed.com/Wolfpack, FactorMeals.com/Wolfpack50, and of course, The Wellness Company. Let's get into it. Hit it, Joshua.
The growing calls across the nation to defund the police.
To end policing as we know it.
Off the charts violence in New York City. 11 people shot in just 8 hours on Sunday.
This is about the police officers who every single day put on that uniform and they run towards danger when we run away from it.
All boats and hoes. Speaking of hoes, we got a lot of people in the live chat joining Conservative and Deadleg and myself. Mario Lopez back in the chats. Homie Mario Lopez donated $100 last week to the We Defy Foundation, which is a foundation that gives wounded veterans and disabled veterans a chance to do jujitsu for free. And while I'm at it, listen, any super chat from now till the end of May, there is a jujitsu event for the We Defy Foundation that I just spoke of. I am rolling 1 minute for every $20 raised. We're trying to get to 1,000, which would mean I would have to roll for 50 minutes. That means, and there's going to be a lot of big jujitsu names there, and they're just going to choke me out for 50 minutes straight. Right now, we're up over $230 in two episodes. If you leave a super chat, it could be $5, it could be $1, it could be $10. I'm going to write your name down. And then I'm going to add you to this We Defy thing to get us to 1,000. I will have to roll in a Hulk Hogan Speedo. Go ahead, Ant. I see that you have your hand raised politely.
How do I get choked out in a Hulk Hogan Speedo? I was just wanting to write it down so that
we
I know.
Might, it's an open mat gig for We Defy Foundation. We could, if we get 1,000, let's say if we get $1,100, Ant, I'm gonna present this and then we'll see if it'll work. Let's say 1200. We will fly Ant out here and we will put him on the mat with me and he will be my last roll on the last fit and we'll make it an hour. So that'll push me for a full hour. He will be the last roll with me and my Speedo in the last hour. Is that something you'd be interested in doing, Ant?
Yeah, I want to roll.
I will be dog tired and really sweaty in a Speedo, and you will be the last person to choke me out.
That sounds like my kind of, like, yeah, I'm down.
You're down. All right, so any super chats in any of the shows that, but you have to put We Defy on there so that we know. Again, could be $1, $5, anything helps, and this will go to veterans doing jujitsu, wounded and disabled veterans doing jujitsu for free. It's a great foundation, so hit us up. All right, today, jumping into the news, war of all wars has begun. I mean, do we want to start dark like that, or do we want to start with something lighter?
No, just go right into the dark.
Dark meat kind of guy on Thanksgiving. Which, by the way, on that note, I am a dark meat guy on Thanksgiving. I could care less. I mean, really, I could care less. But I think the dark meat has more flavor than the white meat for some reason. It just seems less dry to me. But whatever.
I agree. I'm dark meat all day.
Good. Good for you. Yeah. So I'm glad we can agree on something. We usually disagree on most things.
We're still talking about turkey, right?
Yep. Still talking about turkey. You're a turkey. So this war has begun. I'd like to ask, you know, what is the what's the catalyst going to be? I don't know if you guys have thought about this or not. If you're sitting around in your patrol car, maybe you could think about it the rest of the day. What is the catalyst, or what was the catalyst to start World War III? What is it going to be in the history books? Was it going to be the bridge collapse? Because now they're you know, remember, Biden came out very early, very soon. It took him weeks, over 11 days, to come out to say anything on behalf of the Maui fires. He came out in hours to say this was not a terrorist attack and the government's going to fund it. And now the FBI has released that they are investigating the bridge collapse for possible criminal activity. Very strange. Is it going to be the bridge that was the catalyst? Is it going to be what happened on October 7th when Iran kind of entered Israel? Is it going to be the pullout of Afghanistan? Was that the start of the fall of everything? What is in the history books? Where is World War III? Because here's what I think. I think World War III has started. We're just not calling it that. But the world is completely at war by definition. Do you guys agree or disagree with that? And if so, if you agree, what do you think the catalyst will be in the history books?
I think World War III is like Fletch. I remember in Mean Girls. Like, it just wasn't a thing. No one was on board with it, but the popular people, they kept wanting to push it. So this is the government. The war machine. We have to push this. We have to have war. We have to have war. Where the rest of the United States and the globe collectively, I was like, that we don't want to do that. We want to just maybe grow some, you know, corn and raise our kids and do that kind of thing. We have no desire for this whole war thing. Like, it's weird. I don't know. Like, we've had multiple. Which one of the incidents do you want to kick off for World War III? Do you want it to be when Russia invaded Ukraine? Do you want it to be the October 7th with Hamas? Or when you start peeling back all the layers, you start finding out that we're paying for every side of this. So if we're literally instigating to try to spend more money, like, what point do the American people go, hey, tax season's upon us. Our taxes aren't doing anything for the American people. Why are we still paying American taxes to go to all these other interests that have nothing to do with us?
Go ahead. And so I want to read the definition really quick of world war, by the way, a war involving many large nations in all different parts of the world. The name is commonly given to the wars of 1914, 1918, although only the second of these was truly global. A war involving many large nations in all different parts of the world. I mean, I figure we have to be there at this point. We've got war in the Sudan. We've got war all over the Middle East. We've got war in India. We've got civil war in Afghanistan, technically. You've got this Haitian war going on, if you want to call it a war in Haiti. Like, I think the war in Haiti is by definition a war. I mean, even though it's a gang takeover and overthrow of the government, I think those are kind of like blurred lines, but I would, you know, I think it's reasonable to say that it's a war. And then, of course, Ukraine, Russia, Taiwan, China. I mean, I feel like this is a world war. It's like we've been in a recession, but nobody wants to call it that. But does it? O.J. Simpson was not guilty, but was he really not guilty? No? Anybody feel the same way?
Yeah. I'm curious because there were no wars under Donald Trump, and there's multiple wars under Joe Biden, and we're not calling it a world war. Also, it's super, super funny to me because the liberals are against war, and yet they're in the streets protesting pro-war, and the Queers for Palestine are now rainbow burkas for, like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what the logic is on the left, because I thought they were anti-war. They treat for liberals since the beginning of time has treated our soldiers like complete dog shit. Perfect example, my father-in-law was Vietnam 101st Airborne. He hates Jane Fonda, hated Jane Fonda, because she led the baby killer movement back during that time. And, you know, these are the people that are against war. So I'm trying to figure out why they're so pro-bombing Israel and getting rid of, you know, it's like, make it make sense to me.
Yeah. It, by the way, Mer530 dropping $20 for Weedify. He said, this is so that Ant can get his sweaty spank fest on. I didn't say he could spank me. Okay. I said he could choke me out in the last hour. Also, Low Ren, it says, Ant defile. I guess Ant to defile me in some way or another. That's very hateful. Loren, I think that I deserve a little bit better than that. By the way, Loren was the one when one of your contests, he sent in like his craziest photo of him in the under, if you remember Loren. Very funny. So anyway, going back to what you said, and 100% Jane Fonda, the burqa thing. You know, one of the things that come across me is a burqas, and I still have it to this day. My wife hates this. But when I was in Afghanistan, there was a man with a camel. And he was walking down the road and we were like, there was nothing along. We'd been on the road for hours. And so we were like, you know, hey, let's pull over, take a quick piss break, see if we can ride this dude's camel. One of our guys on the squad, wasn't me, had this thing where he really wanted to ride a camel. So we pull over, we ask this guy if we can ride his camel. You know, he doesn't speak our language. We had a big language barrier, even with the interpreter. And so the guy finally kind of through sign language and broken dialects of the Afghan language, he lets us take turns riding this guy's camel. And then I asked him about his wife's burqa because it was a red burqa. And the burqas are territorial. So like you might wear a blue burqa in Kabul. You might wear a yellow burqa in Mazar-e Sharif. You might wear a red burqa in
I did not know that.
Yeah, in
you where know would other, they other wear the rainbow, you know? Where would they wear the rainbow burqa, do you think?
They would not. And this story is going to prove that to you. So I was fascinated because I hadn't seen a red burqa yet. I hadn't seen one yet. So I was trying to ask about the red burqa. Now, the wife with the red burqa, she was hiding behind. Now, this is in the middle of the desert. And if you will imagine, like, the Oregon Trail. He's pulling a cart with some kind of oxen beast. And he has two trailing camels behind this trailer, and then him and his wife are sitting on the trailer. As we pulled up, the wife gets off of the trailer and is hiding behind the trailer, kind of like peeking her little red burqa face out at us. And it was very funny. Well, I mean, it wasn't funny, but it was like, you know, it was a thing. So I asked the guy about the red burqa. He goes around, grabs the wife by the burqa, takes her behind the burqa, smacks her on the way, like smacks her on the head, like not hard, but like, as he's dragging her, he comes back out with this red burqa empty, no woman in the burqa, and he hands me the burqa. Mista. And I was like, oh, I didn't want you to go slap your wife a whole bunch of times, take her burqa and get like, why the fuck did you need to slap her? But I still have that burqa to this day. My wife fucking hates when I bring it out. It still smells like Afghanistan.
Ew. And just think about it. Just think about this. The feminists are pro that now.
Yeah.
They're pro that culture, which is now I will say, I'm going to say this. I grew up in Illinois where there is a huge Muslim community. Okay. There are many friends that I still have till this day that are Muslim. However, they came here, they were brought here for the very reason of how things go in their country, meaning they don't practice what they do there. That's why they came here legally the right way, because they wanted to be American and they lead their life as such. So this is by no means any type of hate towards all Muslim people. This is, that is their religion. That is their culture. So when you go there, you need to do all the things or do all the things. They expect you to do all the things that they in their religion and their culture believe to be correct. So for gay people to think that rainbow burqas for Palestine is helping them. These pictures are out there, guys. You can go on Twitter. It's really, really weird to me. I retweeted it. It's like mind-blowing. It's like so fucking mind-blowing to me when Tel Aviv has the biggest pride parade every year and is one of the most inclusive, if not the most inclusive country in the Middle East when it comes to LGBTQ, whatever that other, all the other shit is, rights. And yet they're supporting war and they're supporting people who don't support them. I just can't wrap my mind around that.
It's hard to do so. I mean, and you know, the with the whole burqa thing, you know, that is Taliban rule. Like that's a totally different religion altogether. That would be like trying to lump Christianity and Mormonism together. Just doesn't fit. Like, you know, I think the whole burqa wearing, you know, even like Hamas, like being that I lived in the Middle East for 13 months total. You know, there is a difference between Hamas rule and Muslim rule. I mean, these are very strict, very bully, very like male dominated, very gang like territorial type things. Heather Redden dropping $20. Don't remember the tag, but what is for your charity fight? That's the We Defy Foundation. We Defy Foundation. So let me put that on there. Thank you, Heather, for the $20. Jeez, I might actually be wrestling Ant in the last hour in a Speedo. I'm getting a little nervous about that, but yeah, I think World War III has begun. Here's the thing with this Israel. I'm going to read this from the alternative press. Israel's military chief said Monday that this country will respond to Iran's weekend attacks. If you live under a rock, Iran sent hundreds and hundreds of rockets and drones into the Iron Curtain of Jerusalem. Most of them were shot down. I think a couple of them made it through. No significant impact to Israel. However, I mean, think about that on an American, like imagine 300 rockets shot at Washington, D.C. for a moment. Even if three rockets made it inside of D.C., that would be a pretty big deal. So I know that mainstream media plays it up as not a big deal. For me, I think it's a big deal, but you know, whatever. We don't live in a war torn. We're kind of spoiled over here. But he did not elaborate on when and how the world leaders urged against retaliation, trying to avoid spiral of violence in the Middle East. Here's what's crazy about this. So basically, Iran attacked Israel because Israel rocketed a embassy in Syria, which like I'm 99% sure, I'm a C-minus student at best, folks. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chats. I know you guys are smarter than I am, but I'm pretty sure the Geneva Convention specifically says you cannot target embassies in other countries. So if Israel rocketed or blew up an embassy, an Iranian embassy in Syria, I think they do have a right to retaliate. Now, some of these spokespeople have said that, the amount of rockets is what makes it unacceptable. Well, if you know there's like an iron curtain or a defense system that knocks these things out of the air, the only way to make it a big deal is to fire like 300 rockets into this thing to really kind of prove your point. But the warmongers, which is just bizarre to me, and maybe this happened during the Bush administration and I missed it. I was too young to understand it. I was just like, send me to war. But it's crazy how thirsty they are to get into this conflict, even though Russia says we will 100% get involved in this directly if America directly gets involved in this. Now, we know America helps shoot down some of those rockets from U.S. Navy ships. We're just teetering. We're kind of playing semantics. Is it schematics or semantics?
I think it's semantics.
Semantics. I think we're playing semantics here. We're towing the line, if you will. And this line is a very dangerous line because it's the line of World War III. So Israel has said, nope. So Iran put this message out. Says, if you do not retaliate on our retaliation, we'll call it good. Like this was, you bombed our embassy. We sent a bunch of rockets your way to say that we're not good with that. But if you guys want to call it tit for tat, we're done. Well, I thought that was fair. Israel says, no, that was too much. You sent too many rockets and now we're going to retaliate, but we're not going to tell you when. Now, obviously, if you go back to the Iran missiles, that took about what, 3 weeks since that embassy was blown up? Something like that. 3 weeks worth of retaliation, somewhere around there, if I can remember correctly. So you got to remember that these retaliation attacks, whatever you want to call them, on a militarily planning basis, it's not like we're going to retaliate tonight. right? You sent me rockets. We're going to send you one right back. No, they have to plan this. They have to figure out, got to get the rockets in place. They got to figure out which targets they're going to hit. They got to figure out all the repercussions and how much it's going to cost, yada, yada, yada. So these things could take 2 weeks. So I would say if Israel, and he says in the alternative press, Israel's military chief said on Monday that his country will respond to Iran's weekend attack, but he did not elaborate on when and how. That is normal. But what it says to me is that Israel is going to attack Iran, which means America is probably going to have to help on this one, which means Russia gets into it. And look, I have been trying to not play the hyperbolic card and the fear-mongering mainstream media card, but I had thought about this for the last two nights since this attack happened. I do not see a way out for the United States at this point. You guys agree, disagree? Do you think we get directly involved in this thing?
Oh, yeah.
And is it sure. And is it a catalyst for not having, there's a big conspiracy theory out there, and not to get too off topic, but a gentleman that just retired yesterday or on Monday called me to tell me that he said, dude, I've been 2 years on the Secret Service detail. I'm telling you, from my own personal opinion, I don't think there's going to be an election. And I said, what do you think? And he's like, bro, I'm telling you, I was up there for 2 years with all the big guys. They're not even talking about an election. They're not planning for an election. They're not worried about an election. They don't care about polls. He's like, what you see in the media is not what's going on. He's like, dude, in fact, he's like, those people are partying and Biden is gone all the time. Like, he's just not existent. And they're just doing whatever the fuck they want, which is really crazy. So is this a catalyst? Do you think World War III is coming? Or it's already here. I think it's already here. I think this is bigger, like the overt kind of it's here. Do you think, like, let's take some odds right now. Do you think we're having an election?
In times past, I would think what I'm about to say is a stretch of the imagination. But everything that's happened in the last 4 or 5 years, I don't think it's out of the imagination. So let's say something kicks off over there. We have had somewhere along the low end, they're estimating 7 million. On the high end, 10 to 12 plus million illegals. Not everyone that's coming here wants to do good. Literally last weekend, we had Death to America protests in New York City and other places. They shut down the Golden Gate Bridge. They shut down traffic going into O'Hare Airport. They shut down the airport. They did this all over our country. They're already here. So I don't have to worry about moving logistics, and my logistics are already here. I already have how many military-aged men. We're going to show you here in a minute that this past weekend in New York, lines going up to try to get green cards, try to get better accommodations to whatever they're there, but it's lines of people.
Yeah.
You're not seeing families. You're seeing military-aged fighting men. That's a huge indicator. That's something that in years past, that was a huge, big problem, that if you were a military age man and you were traveling by yourself to the United States, raises a lot of red flags to why you would want to come to the United States. So you have something that kicks off over there. We decide to get involved. Then all of these sleeper cells or all of these people that we've had here in the United States that have gone unvetted, they decide or they get orders or however that works, that we're going to start kicking stuff off in the United States. Now the United States has got stuff stateside. We've got no other choice but to act martial law. Now you don't have an election.
So I had a video that Cat Herd on X shared, okay? TikTok took it down for voter integrity or election interference or whatever. Wisconsin, and this is probably happening in many states, on their government website, it literally lets you know that even if you don't have an ID, you can go get an ID and you can still vote in this election. It says that for illegals. Snopes took my video, posted it on their site as false. It is not false. It is on wisconsin.gov that you can literally, number three, I even showed the screenshot. Number three says, if you are not a citizen and you need an ID,
you can get an ID. What does that mean? You get the ID and you go vote. I don't think there's going to be an election, but I think there's three things that they're trying to push through if we will have an election. One, get rid of Donald Trump. Get rid of your competitor. Put him in jail. We're already seeing that. And it's funny because Donald Trump goes to Harlem yesterday. Thousands of people are screaming.
We love you, Trump. We love you.
Not one person screams, "I love you, Joe Biden." Anytime you mention his name anywhere on this planet, everyone's like, okay, get rid of your competitor. Bring in everybody to vote for you. Hey, you vote for us, we'll give you 10 G's. Hey, you vote for us, we'll give you 5 G's. Hey, you vote for us, but you got to show us that you voted for us, right? So hold them. So, and then the last thing would be war. No elections at all, because they know, you guys. They know they can't win this one. I don't care what polls, Fox News, far-right propaganda bullshit machine puts out these polls that Joe Biden is only behind by 3 or 4 points. Nobody ever asked me who the fuck I'm voting for. Did they ask y'all?
No, but I mean, breaking points with Crystal and Sagar. And by the way, it's a fabulous podcast, even though they are left and Democrat. They have just a brilliant way of presenting the news, and I've always respected them. They can get annoying sometimes if you're a conservative, but if you really just want fair and pretty balanced news, Breaking Points is where to go, especially if you want to get the other side of it. But they are actually reporting on real large, like accredited polling, and the polls are, Trump is way ahead in the polls. And a matter of fact, in one of the larger polls, and again, go to Breaking Points and you can hear, they list it all out for you and reference it, that Trump may have a record percentage of black votes than any Republican in history. So, you know, this is a big election. And as far as they're not holding an election, the guy that I talked to, now, this guy just retired from the military. This guy is no slouch. He's no like tinfoil hat wearing weirdo. He's been literally on like a Secret Service detail for 2 years. It's a classified detail that I don't even know about. I don't know any of the specifics about what he did or where he was at in DC or who he was with. I know that he was in armored vehicles constantly, because he's told me a couple of stories that he wants to put out on the podcast when he gets his DD-214 in the mail, but he doesn't want to do it before then. But I mean, he was saying that either they have already rigged this election and cheated it to where they win, but he's been with everybody for like the last 2 years, and he says it's like it doesn't even come up. It's like they're making plans in way into the future, and there's just no sign. Before we jump into these ad reads, and then we're going to get into this migrant crisis and play a couple of clips from you here. Somebody in the chats mentioned, it was Elijah Kekek. I can't really pronounce that name, but he mentioned that the reason why we hit the embassy in Iran was because there was a general that planned the October 7th attacks there. If you remember, Elijah, is that when Julian Assange was hiding out, Hillary Clinton literally said, "Can't we blow him up?" And everybody was like, "Are you fucking crazy, bitch? Like, no, you can't just blow him up." So, you know, like, I think you can't have it both ways, right? Julian Assange is allowed to hide in an embassy. You know, that's kind of like an off limits. Unfortunately, I think there is kind of like a rule out there. I mean, if you put it in the rule, if it's one of the rules, is that that's home base. You can't fuck with anybody inside of an embassy trying to seek asylum, trying to seek protection. You know, what if he was going there because he wants a fair trial, just like Julian Assange was? I don't think I think that anybody else that does that, it's a war crime, but we do it. Imagine for one moment, and I'm not coming down on you, Elijah K. I'm just saying, imagine for a moment, Putin destroys an embassy in Ukraine because of the stabbing attacks the shooting attacks at the arena, at the concert. Imagine if he went after somebody's embassy because somebody who planned that was hiding in an embassy. It would be, It would be news all over the world. And let's bring that comment right back up. Lumberchef says embassy, churches, hospitals are offline. Well, is it true? Is that true, Lumberchef? Because Israel, and I'm not shitting on Israel. I'm not like anti-Israel. Okay. I promise you I'm not, but I'm also like question everything. Israel has already hit some hospitals. They have already raided hospitals. They also hit, like a, not the UN, which one was it, Ted Legg, where a feeding station, because there were militants at the feeding station. You know, imagine again, we go into Somalia and we start shooting up one of these feeding stations because some of the guerrillas are in there. The guerrilla fighters are in there intermixed with the civilians, which they were, we know they are. And we still don't get, I mean, go back to Black Hawk Down. We didn't get involved. So I just think that like, there's a lot of weird war crimes being committed and we're just like wiping our hands of it. And then we blame Putin for everything. We take warrants out, worldwide warrants out on Putin for doing exactly to Ukraine what America and what Israel is doing all across the Middle East. So again, I'm not anti-Israel. I'm just saying it's a little hypocritical and either we're going to abide by the rules that we make everybody else abide by, or why do we even have these rules in the first place? Elijah's going to respond back with, I was too young to be paying attention when the Julian Assange case went down, so I didn't know that part of the story. Fair point. Yeah, I mean, that's fair too. Julian Assange, by the way, probably one of the ballsiest, one of the most patriotic, whether he's right or wrong, that guy's got bigger balls than anybody in the history. I honestly it's weird, and I know you guys might cancel me for this. I have a weird obsession with Julian Assange. I wish to think that if I felt that that America was wrong in the Iraq war for whatever reason, and I wanted to question them and do and go as far as he went, he had many opportunities to shut the fuck up and he didn't, because he truly believed that what he was fighting for was right. And he literally went the distance and just got brutalized by the media. And I think if you look at the Julian Assange story up close, he was way more right than he was wrong. I know that's probably crazy to say, especially on here. And again, I don't agree with everything Julian Assange was saying, but if you look at the evidence, in the times that we're in now, Fulgenator says, you're giving us more reason to judge you. I don't know. I like the Julian Assange story. I would hope that if I believed in something as much as he did, I would be willing to go that distance. I don't know. Let's do, go ahead.
What real quick, how mad do you think Zelensky is right now?
Oh, he's not getting any attention right at the moment. So he's probably, he's over there.
Sorry.
He's buying palaces. That's what he's doing. He bought a $12 million. I'll while we're doing the ad reads, I'll look it up. He bought it like a $12 million palace. So
that's
where our US dollars are going.
Yeah, but make sure you pay your taxes. Make sure you pay your taxes, girl. I'm done.
Armory Knight says hospitals and churches can be attacked if attacks are coming from them, attackers are hiding in after attacking. I'll agree with you, Armory Knight, but I think the way that technology is today and where we're at and we're fighting, I think there are a lot of ways to combat that rather than just, and I mean, I think that's why you'll never, that's why ground fighting can't go away. Why the infantry will always be needed. You're always gonna have to have boots on ground because they can decipher, you know, who's bad and who's not. I'm just saying there has to be guidelines, and like
traditionally there
has to be rules. I mean, well, if they're going to be rules, you have to follow them too. And if you're going to be the one that's enforcing the rules, it doesn't matter if somebody else is breaking the rules. If you are enforcing the rules, like I'm a cop, right? Just because you're shooting at me and then putting your gun down and putting your hands up doesn't mean I get to just negate and then just shoot you, right? Like we're still holding cops accountable because you think that, you know, because you have to follow the rule to the highest standard, and the criminal doesn't have to. Just because the bad guy isn't following the rules doesn't mean that we don't follow the rules. I don't know. If you're going to have them, or do you just be transparent and say like, fuck the rules. We're not doing the rules in this war. And we're going to, Geneva suggestions. Today's show brought to you by ghostbed.com on the brink of World War III. Some people are a little bit stressed out. What are you doing? For those of you you just listening, Ant has what appears to be a ghost bed pillow. My ad read is so boring that he is getting comfortable in his seat and he's just going to sleep through this amazing ad read that I have, because that's what ghost bed pillows are for. They are so comfortable and so nice that you can literally fall asleep even during the most entertaining ad read that's ever been delivered.
You know what I love the most? You know what I love the most? I love when you and I do an event together and we both have these ghost pillows. Yeah. And you're like hot and sweaty because we sleep together. Mm. And this is... this stays so cool. And so I hold it close to me because it's like an air conditioning pillow.
By the way, Anthony and I do not have never slept together. We have laid together on a ghost bed.
We're boyfriends.
Yeah, we're friends that are boys. We're friends that are boys.
Yeah, so we sleep boyfriends.
Yeah. So we sleep together. We have laid together on a ghost bed at the ghost bed facility to test it out. What was it, like 30 minutes? They did like a 30. They let him adjust his side and they let me adjust my side. And then they massaged us both on the massaging bed thing. But like we were on the same bed, but separate. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of laughs. It was very funny. It was a lot of fun. Listen, Ghost Beds is the oldest, one of the oldest American made bed companies in existence. We're proud to sponsor them. They love first responders. 50% off. Use the promo code Wolfpack or the promo code ANT. Either or, you're going to get 50% off. And I talked to them about this. We're like, look, you know, we're doing this for first responders and military veterans. And then Ghost Bed was like, it's going to be too difficult to grab ID cards and try to figure it out. We're just going to go 50% off across the board site-wide. So that's the adjustable base, the cooling mattress, the sheets. You can bundle it up and save if you want to. 0% down, 0% financing. And that's if you have a dead leg credit. So head over to ghostbed.com, use the promo code ANT or Wolfpack and get you sleep so good it's scary. Okay, up next, we've got factormeals.com, promo code Wolfpack50. Look how slim and trim Ant is. Look how jacked and ripped I am. Look how happy and shiny the skin of Deadleg is. And that's because health, mental health, regular wellness starts with a good night's sleep and with a good diet. That's why we love Ghostbed. We love factormeals.com/Wolfpack. You are not allowed to make me laugh while I'm trying to do these ad reads.
Who said he has good skin? That came to my mind.
Yeah, sorry. Of course. Factor Meals, meal planning to the next level. So whether you are trying to get swole or whether you're trying to lose weight or you go vegetarian or vegan, Factor Meals has all of these meal plans for you on their site. And these are fresh, never frozen meals delivered right to your door. Pop them in the microwave for 2 minutes. They come with this like cool space age ice technology and a cooler that comes to your door. Look, if you're worried about price of groceries, these are full complete meals that are almost the same exact price as if you were to drive to the grocery, buy your groceries, drive back home, fire up the oven, make all these separate dishes, grab your Pyrex dishes, have a hissy fit because you can't find the right lids. Look, you can negate all of that and the price is a wash, right? They're right to your door. They're super organized. You know what you're taking for lunch every day. And that way you can spend more time with your family, more time meal prepping, more time doing physical fitness, whatever it is. Head over to factormeals.com. Use the promo code Wolfpack50. Get your 50% off and get your meal planning started. Look, I'm down 21 pounds since December 3rd. Feeling great. Look at Ant. Ant's on a couple of different diet and exercise regimen. You got a private trainer, personal trainer. And I'm telling you, dude, those pictures of you at the Trump house in Florida, dude, you look fabulous in your bathing suit and everything.
Thank you. I started at 240. I weigh 185 now. So,
yo, dude, is this the, when's the last summer you were excited to take your shirt off by the pool, like, and not have any
my 20s? Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. I guess it's the first summer I'm ready.
I did all the things. I mean, eating right is definitely, you know, a thing. Intermittent fasting is huge. Weight loss quickly, if you guys want that. I only drink water and TRT. A lot of men nowadays have very low testosterone. That link is in one of my bios. If you guys want the TRT replacement, the TRT treatment that I've been doing, it's amazing. So,
yeah, and guys, you still have time to get your summer bods on. I mean, it's only April. You start now, by July 4th, because we've been doing this weight loss stuff for 3 months now. And look at us. We're about at 4 months, but even at 3 months, we were looking fabulous. So listen, get you Factor meals, get you a good night's sleep, get your diet right. We have a Wolfpack Fitness. So join our FTS underscore Wolfpack private group on Facebook. You can also get into our fitness group. We share pictures of our each other's weight losses journeys, top, like not women showing their boobs, but like shirtless pictures, all not for clout, but for like showing progress. Nobody shares these, nobody screenshots. We all trust each other in that group. We're all giving each other inspiration and keeping each other up. So join the private groups. And then, okay, let's jump into this next story really quick. Let's do the migrants. We got to get to this migrant thing. And then I want to finish off with Trump. The migrant issue. Play this video. Now, I think this is insanity to me. Josh showed me that it's been happening for a while. Josh is West Coast. I'm East Coast. So this is new news to me. But Josh says on the West Coast, it happens a lot. But I noticed that when it was happening 5 years ago, the videos that we're going to show you from 5 years ago, when Trump was in office or a different president altogether was in office, you can hear sirens, woo, 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 some sort of deterrent. Look at the videos now.
Hold on. I want to say something to Catherine. Catherine, I wouldn't judge people on their weight loss journey. It doesn't matter how they do it. It matters that they're doing it for them.
I'm not doing it with Ozempic. I'm not taking anything. But
we have haters here. I mean, I was a pre-diabetic, so I needed it. But like
with the Ozempic thing, I would say,
like, all the things together and you're working out and you're eating right, and then you do that for curbing, like, you know, it's always people that live in glass houses that have the biggest mouths. I can find a couple of things to put in your mouth, but don't come on here. Cause I've been getting hate for that. And, if you want to come over, I can show you exactly how much strength I have. But until then, stop.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I'll say that.
I can't fucking stand people that talk
I know how you feel. I will say this. I met Ant last summer.
Pisses me the fuck off.
Ant and I were at an all-time fat last summer. Both of us were super out of shape. I had a whole bunch of kids. I saw the way that Ant ate because I was eating the same way. We ate together. We had a couple of dinners together, either one of us. Now, in Christmas, when Ant and I decided that we were going to try to lose weight, we were going to use the Factor Meals thing. He started with Factor Meals. He was trying to lose weight. He got super excited. Then he got on with Ozempic. But I'll say this. Ant and I have been talking since December. What is it? What are you on?
Trizepatide.
So, but I will say this. Ant and I's conversations now are, I'm doing jujitsu. I tell him about jujitsu practice and where I'm at. He's talking about his new personal trainer. He's talking about going for runs. You know, like our conversations have, and I'll say this, you were so out of shape and I was so out of shape that I don't care what you do, being that fat and that unhealthy is terrible. So I don't, you know, like if you've got a problem with Ozempic and you say like, oh, that's definitely not a healthy way of doing it. Well, being super fat as fuck and having low T is also bad. So I'm not going to judge anybody that's trying, especially when I know that you've been going to personal trainers. I know it was a hard deal when you and I don't want to get too personal with our fans here, but you and I had that hard conversation about putting money aside for a personal trainer because of all the traveling and the time and how your personal trainer was like, you got to commit to this. And you did commit to it. I mean, right. There was a lot of work that you have put in to what you're doing. Now I'm not doing those things. I'm just doing jujitsu 4 to 5 days a week through We Defy Foundation, but I'm never going to judge anyone who is trying to get fit. I'm never the guy that makes fun of the fat girl in the gym or any of those things.
She totally meant shade by it. She's just mad because I called her out. She can go fuck herself. You know what? I used to get fat shamed on the internet. Being on the internet for 4 years is not easy. I got fat shame, called big boy, all kinds of stuff. And that's why people go into a depressive state, because y'all just punch your fucking keyboards, but you're not out here doing what we're doing. And then when somebody does do something about their weight, then you also want to talk shit. So I'm going to stand up for all the people that are trying their hardest to lose weight, because it is not easy, because every corner in this country has fast food, big gulp, everything shitty. Everything in our food is shitty. Everything that we put into our bodies is shitty. So if somebody wants to do something, y'all have no problem with people dropping acid. Don't have a problem with people doing Ozempic. Post a picture of yourself then. I would love to see how big you are.
Dude, I can't stand. I can't stand that woman with the ring that's always talking about like tripping on troops. Like, it's a really big thing right now. Like, everybody trying to get you to like go on these like weird journeys and acid trips. And right, I think that is a great point, because it's like, okay, so we're all gonna like that person and love that person, but hate the person that's a, you know. And listen, Catherine, listen, maybe somebody said I was a bad reader. Maybe I read what you wrote wrong. And I don't hate you, but at the same time, I don't think it's fair to shit on people's, weight loss journey. Tina says, Ozempic is helping me to get off of insulin. I'm all for individual choice. What kills me are those that push weight loss surgery, but not this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, weight loss is a touchy thing. I don't think there's, here's what I'll say. It's like vaccines, right? You know what you need and what you don't need. You know what research you're going to do and what you want to. Don't leave, leave everybody else's journey out of it.
These are the same people that said, don't force the vaccine on me. Everyone should have a choice. They're the same people talking shit about people that are putting other shit into their bodies.
I will say this. I think Ant is a different person from when I met him in August. And I'm just saying this as a friend to my chatsters, the chat groups out here. Like, I will say that, honestly, and Ant and I are both in a different place when it comes to feeling better and being better. Our phone conversations are different. Like, we've got more energy. We're trying to knock more shit down. We're both on these like crazy journeys of podcasting and book writing, and there's a lot of way to go. And we're not like, it's not that slouchy, lazy conversations that we used to have where we were just making fun jokes and, you know, being funny. Now we're like in the zone, we're working. And I think that comes with, being in shape, feeling better about yourself and having more, confidence, let's get into the migrants thing, but I'm glad it triggered you, because like, I really do like the FTS Wolfpack, fitness group, because like, we can really have great conversations there. Everybody builds each other up, and I have had so much fun in there with all the guys and girls that are in that group. So thank you guys to Wolfpack Fitness. Go and follow it, join the FTS_Wolfpack private group, and then join the Wolfpack Fitness with Will Cray in there, and you can join all of our Wolfpack weight loss journeys in there. And everybody's doing something a little bit different. Some people are intermittent fasting, some people are doing carnivore, some people, and it's just Bosco's in there. Everybody's working really hard and at different paces. And so it's a really great group. I love our private groups. I want to play this video though, with the migrant thing real quick. We're pressed on time now. Go ahead and play these videos for me real quick. No, you're so good.
This is the first one from yesterday. This is the one that everyone's talking about right now.
What the fuck?
Racing through a group of surfers, swimmers, beachgoers. There's a child within 50 feet of this thing. It is going full speed. The boat, the speedboat, slams into the sand, spits mud up because the propellers dig into the sand. And military-aged males, I'm talking 19 to 35 years old, bail out of this thing in a single file formation. They have a dude head counting. They have another guy dropping weird equipment down by the boat. They run in a straight line straight to a staircase. They run up the staircase to two waiting vans with a woman doing another head count, and they've got it timed out so perfectly that they're at a red light or a stop sign, that as the car moves, the woman runs, as she's the last one in, she shuts all the doors and then runs and jumps in, and they peel off without holding up traffic and without batting an eye. And what this shows me is something, you can turn that off, Josh, is I've done waterborne operations in special operations. I've done Zodiac training. I've done beach infills, lake infills. I've done this. There's a lot of coordination. Now, some people will say, well, this is just anybody could run a boat up on the sand and jump off and get in a car and leave. No, they can't. Navigating large, vast distances over the water and hitting your target is really not easy, even if it's just crossing a lake. Something as simple as crossing a lake and hitting the right dock, the right pier, the right little beach landing can be very difficult unless you're using a compass and you're navigating correctly, unless you've been there 1,000 times, you live on the lake. But in my military training, these were often lakes that we'd never even seen before aside from a map. So hitting your target wasn't easy. These guys ran this boat up parallel, like in a direct line to the staircase that they needed to get to. They got off of the boat and one thing they did. Now, look, let me show you a video. I want you to show you a video of migrants landing and what that looks like. Can you show that video, Josh? Of the migrants? This is what a migrant dinghy looks like. Look at the mud shooting up in the air. Watch how they bail out. Nope, this is a different one. Go to the one where it's like overt, like a piece of shit boat with like moms and daughters and nope, that's the one from this week. Again, look at their
Here we go.
This is it. Look at the boat that they're in. Play that one for me, Josh. Six
people seen this is just still pictures from it.
Okay. This was the video, the panga that was detained. Now, these women are falling out of the boat. They can't get out of the boat. They're trying to help each other up the boat. They're dressed in like weird clothing. Some of them don't want to touch the water. Yeah, look at this. Look at they're walking. They're walking very slowly. They're helping each other. Some are getting washed out by the waves. Some are going off the sides of the boat. Some are going off of the front of the boat. Very disorganized. Again, they're walking. They're tripping in the sand. Go back to the video of Carlsbad or some of these boats that are not panga boats. These guys are deploying off of the front of the boat. They're deploying in a single file line. They're wearing matching clothing, meaning they're wearing all long sleeves with long sleeve pants. It's all dark colored clothes. They're all the same age. They're not wearing the bright colored clothes like you saw the immigrants wearing. Again, running in a straight line. They timed this so perfectly that there was two cars waiting at a stop sign, and they piled into the vehicle all in one simultaneous motion. I'm telling you, this is a coordinated a beach infiltration. They have planned this. They've coordinated it. It looks like they had even rehearsed this. And that is not, to me, immigrants just coming across the border. This is something where maybe they're drug mules. Maybe they're coyotes of some sort. I don't know, but they were not immigrants just trying to get to a new country. These guys had intent. They had intention, and they deliberately planned this infiltration, and I think it should scare everyone. If you live in San Diego, call your congressman today. Call your local law enforcement officers. Ask them what the fuck they're doing. Put some pressure on them. Don't just do nothing.
To add to your that this is planned, try to make dinner reservations with two other people and get them to show up at the same place at the same time. These are people that you know, that you can coordinate to well in advance and try to get two people to show up at the same place at the same time. This is a boat. This is vehicles. This is coordinated. This is an invasion. Let's just say what it is. It's an invasion. No, but name another place on the face of the earth where you can get in a boat, come ashore, yeah, not legally, just walk up on the beach, get into a vehicle, and drive off.
And nobody
cares. You will disappear. I promise. Try that somewhere else.
Yeah, try that in like Nicaragua. Like try that in Costa Rica. I was paddling from one area of Costa Rica to another during a surf thing, and there were some guys waiting on the beach, and they confronted us. We didn't even speak their language, with machine guns. Why did you paddle across that inlet like that? Why did you do that? And we're like, we wanted to surf over here. Where are you from? Do you have your passports? Well, we're like in the water on surfboards. Like, yeah, we do. Back in our what beach camp are you staying at? This is like in the middle of the rainforest, you know. But there was a lot of questions. That was in Costa Rica. It blows my mind that there's that much security on the beaches of Costa Rica. But here in America, you can just run a boat onto shore with, you know, 15 to 20 military age fighting males, and you can disperse in a very militaristic manner, and nobody gives a shit. Wild.
And do Canada. What?
Try it in Canada.
Yeah, you could cross the border like that to Canada.
You're not going to get up in Canada. So Canada's got more balls than us.
What were you going to say, Ant?
And, you know, for people like, say, California, this was Laguna Beach, I think.
This was
San Diego.
Carlsbad, San Diego.
San Diego. Either way, it is for a studio apartment in California, it is thousands of dollars. And if anybody is looking to rent right now anywhere in the country, you need first, last, it's like 10 grand just to get yourself a one-bedroom apartment right out the gate. But these people are coming here, taking your housing, and you're okay with that? Like, you're good? Like, I don't care who you are politically. If you're good with that, explain to me where you're going to stay or where you're staying at. Because it doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
None. Real quick, we got about four more minutes left of the show because Ant and I both have to go. Ant's got to be on a plane, and I've got to be out the door for jujitsu. We've got to talk really quick. The Trump thing right now, they've gone through. They need 11 more jurors, I believe. They've selected seven at this point. They're having a hard time with jurors. If any juror says that they support Trump or they've read his book, they're not going to be on the jury. Nobody seems like that they can figure out if they can be biased or non-biased. Again, if you're in this weird trial that would never happen, even on like in any other politician that's done this, which we have proof that many politicians, including Bill Clinton, has done this, Obama has done this, Biden has done that. They've all paid people to just shut the fuck up. We're talking about $130,000 that Trump paid through an attorney, but because they pulled it from the wrong funds and the campaign funds, which, you know, to be honest with you, even Trump says that this could easily be still campaign funds because it's still legal fees, which are covered under those things. Like, and the fact that Trump didn't even take a paycheck while he was in the office, it's an absolute witch hunt. The fact that they're not allowing him to even go to his Supreme Court case, which is way more important to this, and the judge specifically says, we'll throw you in jail if you're not here, if you go to your Supreme Court case hearing that he has to
his kid's graduation.
And his kid's graduation. It's an absolute disgusting witch hunt, which is just such a communist, like totalitarian move, definitely trying to politically persecute. It's insanity right now. But listen, if you're following up on the case, this is a great case to follow because there's a lot of drama going on with this case right now, especially with the juror selection. And we're kind of ran out of time. I wanted to go through it, but if you're sitting in your first responder vehicle and you want to research it, just look at the jury selection alone. Very salacious, very difficult to navigate because of, you know, listen, if you're a juror, think about this for a moment on one of these last notes. Think about it. If you acquit Trump in New York and it comes out that you were one of the people on the juror, I mean, Antifa, you've got all this hate from the big city folks. You've got, I mean, and who knows what politicians are calling you and telling you to which way to vote or which way to do your jury selection. It would be very difficult, is what I'm trying to say, to be a juror in this case.
But just think, how many people from the OJ case have books? How many jurors have written books? So the odds of, if you're a juror, then you might have an opportunity to write a book afterwards, maybe? I don't know. But it seems like New York just has everything together, and this is what they can focus all their time and energy on, because they don't have a homeless problem, they don't have a crime problem, they don't have problems in the subway, they don't have people living on the streets, they don't have any of those issues.
They're fine.
Yeah. This didn't happen yesterday. Migrants didn't storm City Hall.
Migrants storming City Hall in New York City.
Illegals. Not migrants. Illegals.
Sorry. And then you have people out there from the left that are explaining to them how to vote for Biden in the midst of all this. You know, listen, guys, this is going to be a crazy week. I don't know if Israel says they're going to attack Iran. I think that is a big deal. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you that this is something you should be aware of. And knowing is half the battle. I don't know what you do with that information. I'll tell you this, that millions, thousands of these military age males are coming across the border. Who is going to be held accountable when one of these cells attacks? Will these cells attack? I'm telling you this because, I mean, unless you live under a cave, I am not attending any massive events. I'm just not going to do it. Not for a while. I don't trust these big events. And so anyway, big week for us this week. We'll see you guys on Friday for the breakdown. Don't forget Thursday sports news tomorrow. And I want to get you out of here because I know you got a flight to catch. I will be with Tim Pool and friends this Wednesday, but it's not for me. It's for my kids. I wish I was that cool. Tim Pool and those guys aren't even going to talk to me, but I get to be there. And so maybe I'll get some pictures and maybe I'll get to shout out Feller to Stop. Probably not, but I think it's going to be a fun time. So we're excited about that. Ant and I will see you May 2nd with the Anti-Hero podcast. Until then, guys, guns up and giddy.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye, Catherine. Bye, Tina. Bye, he's wrong. She's right.